This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Horrific crash in New York. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, Monday, October 8th. Thanks for being with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
A large limousine carrying family members to a birthday party ran a stop and smashed into a parked car outside Albany. 20 people overall were killed.
In politics, what will the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court mean for the elections next month?
Florida's panhandle is being warned about Tropical Storm Michael. It could make landfall later this week as a hurricane.
And on the job scene, trends to make note of from the latest employment report by the Labor Department.
The economy continues to grow at a robust rate, the job market continuing to chime in as well, and so this is a good time for workers. Employers are having some strains from the standpoint of trying to find well-qualified workers, but, you know, that's a good issue for workers to have.
Mark Hamrick at Bankrate.com has analysis of the jobs report in about 10 minutes. A horror scene in upstate New York. 20 people were killed when a limousine ran a stop sign in the town of Schoharie, hitting two pedestrians and a parked car. Both pedestrians were killed, as well as all 17 adults in the limo and the driver of the Ford Excursion. It happened Saturday afternoon. The Associated Press reported last night that the limo was carrying four sisters, other relatives, and friends to a birthday celebration. Three of the sisters were traveling with their husbands. Schoharie is about 30 miles west of Albany. Schoharie town manager Alan Tavener.
At least two occasions, tractor trailers have blown through that intersection. They've lost their brakes on a steep hill coming down it, and they've just gone straight through the intersection. It's a miracle something like this hasn't happened before.
The National Transportation Safety Board says it's the deadliest accident in 9 years. State Police First Deputy Superintendent Christopher Fiore declined to comment on whether the vehicle was speeding or if the passengers were wearing seatbelts. To our nation's capital now, what will the nomination battle involving new Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh mean for the November midterms? Republicans and Democrats head into next month's elections trying to channel passions from recent weeks into getting supporters to the polls. Hawaii Democratic Senator Mazie Hirono was on ABC's This Week.
All these angry people out there, they know that it is the people who are sitting in the Senate that they've elected who are making these decisions, and they're going to go to the polls and they're going to vote differently.
South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham was on Fox News Sunday.
I'm happy that those who tried to destroy his life fell short. I'm glad those who tried to overturn the rule of law and replace it with mob rule lost.
Judge Kavanaugh was sworn in Saturday following a Senate vote confirming his nomination, and he could hear his first oral arguments as soon as tomorrow. The Wall Street Journal says the political polarization seen in his nomination fight threatens to undermine public confidence in the Supreme Court. The 13th named storm of the Atlantic hurricane season has formed in the Caribbean and could threaten Florida's Gulf Coast later this week. Tropical Storm Michael was located near Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula last night and is forecast to strengthen to a hurricane. The National Hurricane Center says the current forecast track shows the storm could hit the Florida Panhandle as a Category 2 hurricane on Wednesday, packing maximum sustained winds of 100 miles an hour. Florida Governor Rick Scott declared a state of emergency for counties in harm's way.
You cannot hide from storm surge, so get prepared and get out if an evacuation is ordered.
He warned the storm could strengthen further with winds potentially reaching Category 3 strength.
Today is the time to get a plan. Do not put it off. There isn't any reason not to be prepared to keep your family safe.
The timing and trajectory of the storm could change as it heads north. The current forecast cone from the Hurricane Center put all of northwest Florida coast at risk from Pensacola to a coastal area west of Ocala. Glad you're with us. Welcome into Monday. Time to go behind the numbers of the latest jobs report from the government. The unemployment rate fell in September from 3.9 to 3.7%, the lowest level since the Vietnam War. While hiring cooled slightly, 134,000 jobs were added. Here's Mark Hamrick, senior industry analyst at Bankrate.com. Mark, what's that number mean?
It means that there's nothing to see here and move along, meaning that that number is being widely disregarded as being an accurate portrayal of the job market, largely because of Hurricane Florence. So we believe the trend remains in place because we're adding about 200,000 jobs a month in this country. For 18 straight months, Gordon, the nation's unemployment rate has been below 4.5%. 4 years ago, the Federal Reserve projected, and has since adjusted, but projected back then that 4.5% was essentially full employment in our country, and we've been below that level for 18 months. So the economy continues to grow at a robust rate, the job market continuing to chime in as well, and so this is a good time for workers. Employers are having some strains from the standpoint of trying to find well-qualified workers, but, you know, that's a good issue for workers to have.
What about wages now? Is the market starting to push those wages up on a continuous basis?
Not to the degree that we would have expected by this point. And so in this report, a bit of a disappointment from the hoping to get more pay standpoint. Average hourly earnings up below 3%, 2.8%, actually a bit of a backtracking there. And so with the unemployment rate now at a level that was last seen in 1969, what were you doing when the Beatles were still together?
Yeah.
We would have thought that wage growth would have been more substantial at this point, and it's not the case.
We speak with Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com, talking about the September jobs report. Does the wage issue remain a mystery? Are we just kind of waiting patiently for things to show real progress? Because I really don't understand why the wages aren't going up. They are in some cases, obviously.
Yeah. Well, for one, that's an average, right? So that's the old your results may vary routine. And we think about how, without getting into politics, how we have a political divide in this country that, at least to a modest degree, is informed by different individuals' economic experience. So you think about where economies have not participated in the economic expansion, many small towns across America or some of the more remote areas, such as Appalachia, and nothing's probably going to, frankly, change that much in the near term. And so that does inform an individual's view of what's happening. But my point about that is I sit, as we speak, in Washington, D.C., and you sit in a good place as well when it comes to looking for jobs. There are others across the country less so, and obviously it also depends on what sector you're working in. So to the broader picture, though, yes, it's disappointing. I think there are a number of ways that employers substitute for labor, whether it's with technology or move the jobs elsewhere, either across the country or around the world. And perhaps none of that changes, frankly.
I know the question is probably impossible to answer, but it has to be asked by people like me. 9 years into this economic expansion, what's left?
I think the best bet right now is it's got at least another 2 years to go. The question really ends up being, to some degree, you know, for the past two quarters we've had, I would say, substantially better growth than expected. Does that bring the end of the expansion closer, or does it extend it? In other words, does it mean that the economy can continue to crank out a good output for another two plus years, or does it mean that we're overheating and at some point you just can't improve any further? And that's an answer that only comes after the fact.
Yeah.
But I think that for most of us, I think the most important answer to that important question is, for now, it looks positive. The impacts of the tax cut begin to fade in 2020. I think probably 2020 is a date to watch, and that happens to coincide, ironically, or perhaps not, with the next presidential election.
Thanks, Mark. Mark Hamrick, senior industry analyst at Bankrate.com. It's 20 minutes after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
In a limousine carrying four sisters, other relatives, and friends to a birthday celebration, blew through a stop sign and slammed into a parked SUV outside a store in upstate New York, killing all 18 people in the limo and two pedestrians. The crash turned a relaxed Saturday afternoon to horror at a rural spot popular with tourists viewing the region's fall foliage. Karina Halsey says her sister Amanda was one of the passengers in the limo.
I was told that the limousine was going over 60 miles an hour, going down a hill, missed the traffic stop, hit another car, and then that other car hit two pedestrians.
The weekend crash was the deadliest U.S. transportation accident in nearly a decade. A tropical storm that rapidly formed off Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula has gained new strength and could become a dangerous Category 2 hurricane with an expected midweek strike on the Gulf Coast in the Florida Panhandle. Florida Governor Rick Scott has issued an order for a state of emergency for 26 counties to rush preparations in the Florida Panhandle and the Big Bend area, freeing up resources and activating the Florida National Guard.
Right now, Tropical Storm Michael has 50-mile-an-hour winds and is forecast to move slower and grow stronger, making landfall as a Category 2 storm midweek along the northeast Gulf Coast.
Scott says the storm could be life-threatening. An international panel of scientists says preventing an extra single degree of heat could make a life or death difference in the next few decades for multitudes of people and ecosystems on our fast-warming planet. The Nobel Prize-winning Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change detailed how Earth's weather, health, and ecosystems would be in better shape if the world's leaders could somehow limit future human-causing warming to just 0.9 degrees. When Yellowstone's Ear Spring started erupting last month, it was a sight that hadn't been seen for decades. It's also spitting out stuff that hasn't been seen in decades. After the hot spring, dormant since 1957, shot water 30 feet into the air, park officials found piles of man-made debris, including a cement block, cans, coins, and a baby pacifier dating back to the 1930s. The trash is a reminder to the millions of visitors to not use the park's natural wonders as a dumping ground.
Wow. I was at Yellowstone once. Some of the worst traffic I've seen.
Yeah.
Because of bison.
In the way.
Who just freely, like, roam the streets.
As they should.
In Yellowstone.
It's theirs.
Amazing sight. Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
Look into any great business. Whether it's a manufacturer or a hotel, a store, school, or hospital. Look into each and every one of them, and you'll find the same thing. Great people. At Kronos, we believe that great businesses are powered by great people. And with Kronos Workforce Solutions, we'll help you find them, keep them, and engage them. Learn more at Kronos.com. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for four straight years, that's pure Michigan. Contact MichiganBusiness.org. Americans overpay for auto insurance by astronomical sums, according to multiple studies, yet we do little about it. The good news is it's getting easier to find better rates. Here's Katie Hill, editor at Moneyish.com. Katie, what have you found?
So looking at a bunch of studies about car insurance, it looks, depending on who you're asking, but you could save an average of $417 a year just by shopping around for new insurance. That's data from NerdWallet. J.D. Power found that number to be $356 a year. But think about how much that's adding up over the life of, you know, you're going to have a car for many decades. And people don't shop around, right? So even though you could save $400-ish dollars a year, people don't do it. They really don't. One in three said they haven't compared the cost of their policy in at least 3 years. And, you know, sometimes your policy kind of like inches up in price and you're like, well, how'd that happen? But you don't feel like doing it and you don't do it. And you're leaving hundreds of dollars on the table every time you do that.
I understand that. That's laziness, right? It can be frustrating. You got to set aside the time. But, boy, when you talk about that kind of money, though.
Right. I mean, $400-something, imagine putting that into your, you know, 401k in your 20s. Yeah. It's going to add up to something. But yeah, a lot of it is that it's a pain, right? Calling around to a bunch of different insurance companies is not going to be a quick process. And so that's the hump that a lot of people can't get over.
All right. So not to make this sound like an infomercial, but there are a couple of products out there that can help. What'd you find?
Right. So I actually saw a new one. A new one was demoed this week that just came out this week from Credit Karma. Right now it's only available in California and Texas, but they're going to roll it out for the rest of the country. And it takes information from the DMV and all these public insurance filings, and then it shows you what people like you are actually paying for insurance in your state, which is a good negotiating tactic when you go into the insurance company. You can kind of know, hey, this company tends to offer cheap rates, and here's around what I should be paying. So I demoed that yesterday. Pretty cool product, though it's not available across the country for at least a few more months. So I liked that. NerdWallet, too, I like their tool. It takes a little bit longer. You got to fill out this questionnaire about, you know, your car and your age and all that stuff. But they give you pretty customized quotes that, you know, are applicable in your state. They give you it from a bunch of different companies. But look, both of those tools make it a lot easier to figure out, hey, who's going to give me the cheapest quote, rather than you calling around, which is what half of Americans do, picking up the phone and calling around. I mean, no wonder they don't price check. It's too annoying.
Yeah, boy, the one stop, though, it takes a lot of guesswork out of it. You're kind of running out of excuses, right?
Yeah, no, you are running out of excuses, right? Every year, you should be checking around. And look, if it takes, you know, with these insurance.com, NerdWallet, Credit Karma, all those places, they're making it a lot easier. And by the way, we're going to see more of that, I think, too. These companies are really trying to make, you know, price transparency a little bit clearer in those markets. But that makes it a lot less of an excuse for you to have spent 3 years without checking on what you're paying on car insurance and whether you can get a better rate.
Thanks, Katie. Katie Hill, editor at Moneyish.com. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
There's nothing small about your business. Your passion, your hours, your reputation, it's all huge. Your partnerships, even bigger. With Dell Small Business Technology Advisors, you'll get the tech, advice, and one-on-one partnership to help your business grow. Because with reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, you can focus on what matters most, getting business done. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for four straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in advanced manufacturing, cybersecurity, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan as the most improved state for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday, October 8. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Kashenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. 20 people have died in a limousine crash in upstate New York. Newest Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh could hear his first oral arguments tomorrow. Tropical storm Michael forms in the Gulf with eyes on the Florida Panhandle. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo met with North Korea's leader over the weekend. Trump says he looks forward to another summit. All four rookie quarterbacks won their games yesterday in the NFL. And the lesser-known perks given to Nobel Prize winners. That story in about 20 minutes. Texas Congressman Beto O'Rourke's campaign against GOP Senator Ted Cruz casts Mr. O'Rourke as the Democratic Party's antidote to President Trump. But Mr. O'Rourke remains dogged by questions that he can turn out the legions of young and Hispanic voters. Any Democrat will win, or rather will need to win, an election in Texas. He has refused to employ a pollster or air negative TV ads. The latest Wall Street Journal NBC News poll rated young people and Hispanics as the Democrats' least interested in voting in next month's midterm elections. Here's Wall Street Journal national political reporter Reed Epstein. Reed, what's going on?
A year and a half or so now, Beto O'Rourke, a previously sort of low-profile congressman from El Paso, has been running for the Senate in Texas against Ted Cruz. And he is something of a phenomenon there. He is drawing crowds for political events larger than anybody has ever seen in the state. In Austin, he had a concert with Willie Nelson that drew 50,000 people, which is probably the biggest political rally since President Obama's 2008 campaign. So the question for Mr. O'Rourke and for Texas Democrats is that his appeal is strongest with young people and Hispanic voters, and those are the demographics that, as we know from 2016 and past elections, tend not to show up in numbers proportionate to their share of the population, particularly in midterm elections when turnout goes way down compared to presidential years. And so the O'Rourke campaign and Texas Democrats think that they will have a surge in voter turnout like what President Obama did in 2008, or similarly to like what President Trump did with white working class voters or non-college educated white voters in 2016. But there's not so far a lot of evidence or any hard data to show that that's going to be the case.
Mm. It was the interesting data deep dive you did, because as you point out, Texas Hispanics or Texas Hispanic voters are not the same as Hispanic voters elsewhere around the country.
They tend to be a little more Republican than Hispanics around the country. I think in 2016, it was like 34% of Texas Hispanics voted Republican compared to 28% in the rest of the country. But the bigger issue is that you have a lot of these congressional districts in Texas are fairly gerrymandered to fit as many Democrats as possible in them. And they just haven't seen competitive races, not just for Congress, but even down the ballot for local races. You know, and so that the general elections have been cakewalks for one party or the other. Mm. And there really hasn't been a competitive statewide race in Texas for anything in 20 years. And so there's not a political machinery to get folks out to vote. Mr. O'Rourke's campaign has had to build that on the fly over the course of the last year and a half. And whether they'll be able to do it in time for November 6th is a big question.
Well, we're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Reed Epstein. He's written a piece entitled Beto O'Rourke Draws Big Crowds in Texas, But His Voters Tend Not to Vote. The reluctance to vote is a presumption that a Democrat can't win? Like, where does that come from?
Well, it's just no. I mean, if you ask Mr. O'Rourke, he'll tell you that nobody's come and asked for their vote.
Oh.
And he talks in his stump speech about having visited all 254 counties in Texas. And if you've been to Texas, it's a big state. And some of these counties are very small. Some of the counties that he visited, I've been to Texas twice this year to visit him, to see him campaigning. And in February, when I was down there, he was visiting counties and having more people show up to see him than voted in the 2016 election in those counties. And so he thinks that he's able to draw people out who haven't participated before because there's been little reason for them to participate before because Texas has been so Republican. One of the things that he says on the campaign trail is that he doesn't believe that Texas is a red state, but it's a non-voting state. And if he can just get Democrats to show up, then it'll be competitive. Now, the corollary to that is his House district in El Paso hasn't voted much either. So there's not, while he has certainly been very compelling on the campaign trail and has drawn enormous numbers of people, the evidence that he can get them to show up at the polls at least is not grounded in his own electoral history. His House district is one of the 20 lowest turnout districts in the country in 2016. And in 2014, only about 70,000 people voted in the general election in his House district out of 700,000 people in the district.
Thanks, Reed. Wall Street Journal national political reporter Reed Epstein. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour. Glad you're with us. Welcome into Monday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, it's that time of year again. No, not for pumpkin spice lattes or bizarre Halloween costume choices. It's freakout time for Facebook scams. And if your Facebook timeline is like mine, it's inundated with people clamoring on about not accepting strange Facebook friend requests, getting hacked, and more. According to Snopes.com, there are several variations of this warning, and all of them are false. So you don't need to tell your family about this new craze because it's not happening. A variation of the scam reads something like, if you got a friend request from me, please ignore it, or I've been hacked. And no, if you accept a friend request, it does not give hackers access to your profile. And since the Facebook friend request scam isn't real, it obviously means it's not connected to the Facebook security breach of more than 50 million accounts the company announced late last month.
Wow.
Does seem like clockwork. Around once a year or so, we seem to get these things.
Yes. I've seen probably a handful of my friends on Facebook.
Yes.
say, don't accept the request from me, blah, blah, blah.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. More than a few of our smart friends seem to fall for these things. Like, yes. You know, you understand some of the friends that we know, perhaps,
right.
That would fall for this
yes.
kind of thing.
You know,
but
the ones.
Yes, but then you look at some of you thought were your very smart friends who fall for these things
yeah.
as well.
Yeah. I'm trying to determine right now. I have a request from Peaches the pole dancer.
Yes.
If this is, worth accepting or if there's some scam behind it.
Yeah, she might be able to see your account. She might be able to hack your account
yeah.
if you accept that, Gordon.
Yeah.
So you better be careful.
Definitely
on that
requires further investigation on my part.
Yes. And in what seems to be turning into an epidemic around this country, a sign posted by a Florida gas station owner has gone viral. The sign hanging on the convenience store's microwave reads, "Only for food use, do not warm urine." The owner of the store in Jacksonville says he's becoming sick and tired of people walking in to warm their containers of urine. The store is within walking distance of two labs. Warming urine from someone who hasn't taken drugs is seen by some as a way to help pass a drug test. The owner even says a woman became aggressive a few months ago when he asked her not to warm her urine. She asked to see a sign that says that it's not for that purpose.
Oh,
so he went ahead and made one. These are the things you have to do, apparently, when you're a small business owner sometimes.
Yeah.
You have to type up signs like this
and
post them on your microwave. Yeah. And I say this is turning into an epidemic because I feel like we did a story very, very similar to this a couple of months ago
yeah.
or maybe a year ago. Basically the exact same situation
yep.
that someone had to post a sign telling people not to do this.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That is today's world.
Yeah. And then the woman fighting him about it.
Right.
Like, wait, what do you say? There's no sign.
Right. Just standing there, like, holding her warm cup of urine,
yes.
right? Having an argument with a guy about use of his microwave.
Yeah. Somehow he's in the wrong in this situation.
Unbelievable. You're being so unfair. I just want to warm my urine.
Yeah. Especially didn't call 911.
Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. It's time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by Staples. Staples helps keep your ink stocked and your business moving all year long. Staples has a huge selection of ink and toner, so you'll find your ink in stock every time and at a low price every day. Staples, it's pro time. Sometimes a new job turns out not to be the dream job you thought it was, but you can't always afford to walk away from a paycheck unless the company pays you to leave. CNN.com says some companies are making it easier to part ways, paying unhappy workers to bow out. At the online retailer Zappos, new hires are offered a month's salary to leave within 3 months of starting their position. Zappos' policy is officially called the Graceful Leave Policy, but is more commonly referred to as the offer. It's extended about halfway through the 4-week training program. It's good for 3 months from the start date. Some years, no one takes the offer. So far this year, 3 people have taken the company up on it. Amazon, piggybacking off the idea from Zappos, which it bought back in 2009, offers a similar program called Pay to Quit. Once a year, workers at its fulfillment centers are offered a chance to leave the company. The offer is $2,000 the first year and goes up by $1,000 each year to a max of $5,000. It's 8 minutes in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
According to 2 pairs of newlyweds, 4 sisters from one family and 2 brothers from another were among the 20 victims when a stretch limousine taking passengers to a surprise birthday party crashed in upstate New York. The limo charged through a highway intersection without stopping on Saturday afternoon in Schoharie, New York. National Transportation Safety Board Chairman Robert Sumwalt.
20 fatalities is just horrific. I've been on the board for 12 years, and this is one of the biggest loss of lives that we've seen in a long, long time.
The limo driver, all 17 passengers, and the 2 pedestrians died. State police are probing the cause of the crash. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says North Korean leader Kim Jong-un is ready to allow international inspectors into the North's nuclear and missile testing sites, one of the main sticking points over an earlier denuclearization pledge. Pompeo, who met Kim during a short trip to Pyongyang yesterday, says inspectors would visit a missile engine test facility and the nuclear testing site as soon as the 2 sides agree on logistics. Chinese authorities say they are investigating the former president of Interpol for bribery and other crimes and indicate that political transgressions may have also landed him in trouble. They say Meng Hongwei, China's vice minister for public security, is being investigated due to his own willingness and for bringing trouble upon himself. French judicial officials say Meng was missing Friday. Tropical storm Michael is on track to hit the Florida panhandle midweek, as a Category 2 hurricane, packing 100 mile per hour or stronger winds. The tropical storm is expected to swell into a Category 1 hurricane as soon as tonight or early tomorrow as it rolls into the Gulf. Florida Governor Rick Scott has declared a state of emergency in more than 20 counties along the Panhandle and Big Bend. The Braves were able to avoid being swept in the NLDS, hanging on to defeat the Dodgers 6-5 in Game 3 at SunTrust Park last night. Joe Davis with a call on FS1 as Ronald Acuna swatted a grand slam in the second.
The 3-1, and Acuna swings. It's a high drive to left center field. Taylor back at the wall. It is gone! A grand slam for Acuna!
The Dodgers still up in the series, 2-1.
Very good. Thank you, Jen. It is 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save. Being named a Nobel laureate comes with recognition for breakthrough lifetime achievements, more than $1 million, a gold medal, trip to Stockholm, but often that's just the start for some winners who then get honored with reserve parking spots on campus. The Wall Street Journal says life really changed for J. Frazier Stoddard the day he won a share of the 2016 Nobel Prize. He's from Northwestern University, got a reserved parking spot closer to his office at no charge. University of Southern California announced the reserved spot for R.E.A. Warshall less than 3 minutes into a news conference announcing his 2013 prize for chemistry. Overseas, the perks may be better. Kyoto University hired a driver for Tasuku Honjo, who last week won a share of the Nobel Prize for his work on cancer therapies. Danish scientist, though, Niels Bohr may have gotten one of the most novel awards after winning the Nobel Prize in 1922 for physics. Carlsberg gave him free beer for life. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.